Welcome everyone to this Turkish episode of the Caravan Tour of Terror, a show that finds us touring the globe through the medium of horrific, chilling and disturbing entertainment. My name's Donald and I'm the driver on this quest. Joining me at my side, as always, with a road atlas on his lap and a keyhole right in the middle of his fucking napper, is my navigator Ali. Say hello, Ali.
Merhaba, Donald.
Oh, we're back to that. That's been a while.
It has been a while.
Now, Ali, there should have been some new music. What the fuck was that?
Yes. Big thank you to Michael Maftian, who has provided us with new music for the podcast. You can find him at soundcloud.com/Maftian, M-A-F-T-E-A-N, instagram.com/mywoodenleg, and facebook.com/michael.maftian. Huge thank you to him, and I hope you all enjoy the new music.
Thank you, and lovely. Well, this episode, we're in Turkey!
Turkey!
Close to...
I don't know how to pronounce the new Turkey.
Turkey. I think it's Turkey. I don't even know... Yeah, anyway. Let's not get bogged down in that again. Second episode, we got bogged down in that. Close to Antalya? Oh, I'm... Turkish names are very difficult for two Scottish lads to attempt. My God. We don't mean any offence. I found there's a lovely campsite called Flying Goat Camping.
Did you pick the one that was English words to make sure that you could pronounce it?
Christ. There's a deluxe common kitchen.
Ooh, very nice.
Cozy lounge. There's a sun deck terrace. Yeah?
Will we get delicious cooked suspicious meat from our from the kitchen?
Well, our friendly hosts, Moomin and Fleur, I'm sure will cook us a delightful treat if we beg them, because I don't actually think that's something they would do. There is a small catch. It's Flying Goat Climbers Camping, and that campsite is actually up that winding path you can see towards Gulik Mountain. Okay, so this might be a bit of a delicate driving operation, but...
Well, it's quite unfortunate because I've lost my wings from when we left Romania. So I'm back to walking.
Yeah, could you push? Because I don't know if this baby's going to be able to make it all up there. These are some winding woodland paths we've got to fucking navigate here.
Well, thankfully, I don't have to get out and push yet because, first of all, we are here to talk about Baskin. Baskin is a 2015 movie directed by Can Evrenol. I got the easy name. I probably still butchered it. And yeah, it is. It tells the story of five Turkish police officers who find themselves in a small town backing up another unit and is... As is quite common in horror movies, the town has a suspicious past. Yeah. So, most of the way through this film is just the interactions between these police officers. The opening shows a young boy getting terrified at night, and that slowly pulls back in, revealing it is one of the police officers. Not a huge spoiler, but so they start off in a roadside cafe where they are all shit-talking with each other.
Banter.
Yeah, yes, the banter, the top bants.
They taught me the definite real fact that 70% of Turkish men lose their virginity to an animal.
I also saw that.
I mean, we don't need to apologise for repeating that. It's in the film, okay?
It is, yes.
Don't think it's true. Just put that out there as well. But I was like, what the fuck? And
yes,
also there's toxic masculinity, a go-go, obviously.
Huge toxic masculinity, a go-go. Within the first 5 to 10 minutes, it is Messi is mentioned as they talk about football, which I wasn't expecting. And yes, somewhere between 20 and 70% of Turkish men lose their virginity to animals.
Yeah, not sure about that one.
I'm not sure about that one either.
There's the rendition of the Goodfellas, am I a clown to you kind of bit, you know, am I a joke?
Yes, there is.
straight out.
A real Goodfellas-esque scene. Yes, so we've got our five cops, Boss Ramsey, Yavuz, Arda, Apo, and Safi.
Well done. I knew two or three of them just through nicknames.
Yes.
One of them was fifth one. the guy in the kludgy, the toilet. He was the fifth one.
That's Safi, who's quite an important part of this, especially in the early going.
The old one, yeah. The handsome one, yeah.
So the five of them are having, basically shit talk about, you know, their past lives and their sex lives and stuff like that, mm-hmm. where Yavuz, who I immediately took a dislike to, talks about how...
Joe Pesci. Because he...
yeah.
That's
yeah,
funny.
he's the guy. Talks about how he had sex with a beautiful woman who ended up being a transgender woman.
Yeah.
But he decides to have sex with her anyway.
Yeah.
And then the son of the owner who's, you know, serving them... also just has a chuckle and hits our Goodfellas moments.
Yeah.
And he turns around, do you think that's funny? Like, you insulting me? I was kind of on the side of the rest of the four where they were just like, right, let's just clear out. Mm. And the boss just goes, give me your gun. Hit him. Let's see what you can do. Yeah. And I was like, really? Really? Does he deserve that?
Yeah, they're all bastards.
They are all bastards. To varying degrees, but they are all bastards.
Yeah.
So they receive a call to go and back up another unit in the local town. Injaj, yeah. The way I remembered it is it sounded a lot like In Charge. So they make their way to the town, and Safi has had visions, just disturbing visions, and he keeps finding, he finds a frog in the diner bathroom.
Yeah.
And that disturbs him. He starts screaming in the bathroom and comes out looking all pale, but he says, I'm fine to drive. And then as they're making their way along, we have a lovely sing-along.
I was going to say. Tunes with the Lads. It goes on for quite a while.
Yeah, quite a while.
Party.
It is a weird scene. It is not out of place by any means. Yeah. It's just unexpected.
Yeah.
But as expected, Safi doesn't seem to recognize the way he's going. He's like, there should have been a turnoff up here, and I can't find it. And then a naked man runs out in front of the car, and that disturbs them. And then just before they reach Injaj, the truck hits someone in the middle of the road, causing them to be pushed off the road and into a lake. So the five of them, mostly unhurt, have to make their way into the town. Mm-hmm. They meet some people on the road who are creepy as fuck. But one of them says it's just through these woods. And they go, cool, you're coming with us and you're going to show us. And I was like, fucking good luck to you, mate. I would not want to be that pal. But
you don't
see
so much of the town, really. You just see one
You see zero of the town. Yeah. You see, so they break through the woods into what is seen as a rundown old Ottoman police station.
Mm.
And there's no one to be seen. This does seem a wee bit like out the way. There's no other buildings around.
But there's a car outside it.
There is a police car outside with the lights on. No one's there. And if you're planning on watching this, this is probably where the spoilers properly kick in. So
yeah,
just going to say that now. spoiler warning ahead. So they make their way into the police station, and it's disgusting. Like, there's weird meat lying around. There's weird talismans lying around.
I said talismans.
Yes, they're talismans.
But it's just because they didn't say talisman in the movie, and I was trying to think, what are those things? Like the Blair Witchy kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's funny, we'll plumped for talisman.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like fleshy, hairy things. Yeah.
Yep. And the first person they find is standing in a bathroom, slowly smashing his head against the bathroom tiles, to the point where he's got a big, huge gape in his head.
Yeah.
This is where you start to have the police officers' personalities really start to unravel. So you've got Boss Ramsey, who is a sort of father figure to Arda, who mm-hmm. is the youngest cop on the force. You have Yavuz, who is Joe Pesci, our really arrogant, full-on, like, thinks he's the bee's knees, dog's bollocks, whatever you want to call it. You've got Safi, who the majority of his characterization up to this point has mostly been that he's been the one having these visions. Mm. And then you have Apo, who I think is actually the chief, because they call him chief.
Yeah.
But Boss Ramsey is called Boss throughout most of the movie, so I wasn't sure where the hierarchy lay.
I'm going to assume that he's called Boss because he's old rather than because he's in charge. That's what I assume.
Yeah, and the two of them do kind of like, both of them do tend to like give orders, and then that could be this is the boss and this is your like most experienced officer, whether he's actually in charge or not. So they tell Sifi to take the man outside while the rest of them work to clear the rest of the room, clear the rest of the building and investigate the rest of the building. And Sifi's starting to lead the man outside. He hears a strange noise, follows it down to a bathroom where there is, for lack of a better term, a weird cult orgy going on.
I just said blood-soaked orgy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the first time you see other people within this place, and they're all wearing weird masks. It looks more like bandages wrapped around a head than an actual mask. But as he tries to back out of that room, he stumbles and is ripped apart, consumed.
I just said swarmed.
Dragged away. Like, yeah, swarmed is probably the best way. Yeah, so, and that's Safi. Done and dusted. That's a series wrap on Safi, everyone. So the rest of them make their way through, and they come across a basement where there's a lot of like ritualistic diagrams and writing sprawled across the entire place. And like smart cops always do, they split up in the basement and go and search rooms separately. One finds someone dissecting someone for meat. Another one finds a woman in a cage that appears to be dead. And as Apple turns round, he gets hit in the head with a sledgehammer, and that is when all shit kicks off. The remaining three try to get out, but are all knocked unconscious.
Yeah, through various means.
Through various means, yes. So the four men awake in a strange chamber where they are tied to pillars. Mm-hmm. And out comes our big bad of the series. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's actually referred to by any name within the actual movie.
I don't think so. I just called him the leader.
Yeah, the leader, the head cultist.
Is it the father in the plot synopsis? Or the
yes. But yeah, so he comes out and begins to talk about hell.
Yeah.
And these cultists seem to have a very interesting relationship with the concept of hell. And he gives our main, let's say, tagline for the movie is that hell is not a place you go. It's something you carry with you.
It's kind of romantic.
Yeah, very. He ostensibly wants these police officers to embrace the hell that they are experiencing. Mm. And to do that, what we do is we rip open... And so Apple somehow still alive.
Yeah.
I could not... I mean, to be fair, he doesn't look in the best shape.
No, the guy that hit him with that hammer looked 7 foot tall from the framing of him. So it was like...
Yeah. I honestly thought at that moment, like when he gets hit with the hammer, I was like, yeah. Oh, that's him dead. Yeah. No.
No.
Serious brain damage up until that point, but no death. But he doesn't last much longer as he is disemboweled by the leader.
Yep.
More to, it seems, terrify and egg on the other police officers and to, you know, rile up his cultists than to actually do anything for Apple. It doesn't seem, Apple doesn't seem to get the same treatment as the remaining three do. So Yavuz is the first one that they properly try to, let's say, induct. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they begin to talk to him and his bravado begins to unravel. Mm-hmm. First of all, he's screaming about how he's going to, you know, I'm going to fucking kill you. And how you think you can do this to police officers. Mm. And that quickly turns when the leader confronts him personally. And it just descends into fear for him. Mm. And the leader tells Yavuz to embrace hell. That, you know, he can. All he needs to do is open his eyes to what's happening, and that he would be welcomed and embraced. But to open your eyes to these horrors, what you first have to do is stab a man in the eyes.
Yeah, naturally.
Which is definitely one of the more gruesome scenes, I would say, in the movie.
Yeah.
They really, really go for that.
And get a bit of a lick on the old socket.
Yes. Oh, thank you for reminding me of that. Oh, that is the second movie I've watched in, say, 2 months that has had someone putting something they shouldn't into an orifice that shouldn't be there.
I mean, the other thing could be anything.
It could.
Oh, dear. But it's fine after that, right?
Yeah, because they just wrap him up in some bandages like the rest of the cultists.
Yeah.
But then they pull a woman wearing a goat skull.
Yeah.
Crawling on all fours, naked, out. And forcibly make him have sex with her.
Yeah.
In a extremely uncomfortable scene. Very well done. I will say, like, it works for what the movie is wanting to do. But my God, is it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, his eye-opening experience is too much for him and he dies. That's, it's not the way I would want to go.
No. A big spider comes out of his mouth.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, after he drops dead, a big spider crawls out of his mouth.
Is that him?
You never know.
Never know.
You never know. So that leaves us with Arda and Ramsay.
Yep. Ramsay gets off a bit fucking light, I'd say.
So
what happens to Ramsay after that ordeal? What happens to Ramsay now?
First of all, Arda is the one that is chosen next. But Ramsay tries to egg on the cultist, the leader, saying, "No, you turn around, you do me, like whatever you're gonna do, you do it to me, not him." And he doesn't get his eyes stabbed out and forced to have sex with a goat-headed woman. he just gets his throat slit.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
Yeah.
So.
I'll take that.
Over what the rest of them got. Yeah. Yeah. So that this is where a lot of the extra stuff that's been going on that I haven't mentioned up to this point kind of ties back in, where Arda has been having these visions, mm-hmm. where he's back in the diner and talking with Ramsay. Mm-hmm. Earlier, he tells him how when he was younger, one of his friends had passed away. But before he passed away, the two of them had made a pact that whoever dies first will not scare the other, because his friend had seen his father die and his father's soul leaving his body. Mm. And then we have another one where Ramsay talks about how he also sees things that other people can't see. Mm. Especially a strange hooded figure that only appears within these visions. And this culminates after Ramsay gets his throat cut, where Arda has one more vision, where Ramsay, with his throat cut, is sitting on the diner floor and, you know, saying of that when he was put in charge of Arda when he was younger after his parents died, you know, Arda's uncle said... you do good by him or I will have my revenge in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. So as a last effort to help Arda, there is a key within his throat that Arda has to take. And that embeds itself in the leader's forehead.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know how to
yeah.
those yep. two things.
Yep, yep, yep.
But that is what happens. Yep. The key allows him to break free of his bonds, to injure the leader, at which point he uses a stool to bash the leader's head in and make his escape through the police station.
Yeah, he just fucks off.
He just fucks off. Terrified, delirious, you know, that kind of ecstatic because he's got away. He sprints out the forest, sprints along the road, and tries to flag down an oncoming police van, only to be hit by the car that the five men were driving earlier in the movie. Finn.
No way. Cue goth metal industrial.
Didn't expect the goth metal industrial.
Yeah, it didn't really. Yeah, it was kind of like the end music for Saw rather than fucking this. Do you know what I mean?
It
did seem a bit odd.
It was a bit weird. because none of that music is in the movie at all.
No.
But yeah, so and yes, so that is our story.
Yes,
Donald.
Yes,
one of the things that really grabbed me about this movie was the visuals. Mm. There is not a lot. There are maybe four or five set pieces within this movie, maybe a couple more, it is not a movie that travels a lot, but they do a lot with what they have. Mm. There's a really good kind of like neon feel to the diner. Actually, to quite a lot of different, you know, the exterior of the Ottoman police station.
Most scenes.
Most
scenes are lit with two colors, which unfortunately at the start of the movie is fucking orange and teal,
blue.
Is it?
Yeah.
This movie came out in 2015. That is far too late to use those colors anymore. They've been ruined by Transformers, all right?
Yeah, Michael Bay has.
You can't use those colors. Like, it becomes more reddy and stuff when it's more hellish. I just wish they hadn't used the orange, because it's just, that's immediately my first reaction is,
Michael Bay. But no, it didn't put me off too much. I think it works for what they want out of the movie.
If you talk about the plot of this film, you don't really describe the best bits, which are like the surreal bits, because they are the most visually interesting, but also they're kind of nonsense because they're just surreal moments. So it's like, you know, we've, through necessity, not really talked about them. They're very visual. You can't really do them any kind of justice. But I did really like those bits. I thought they worked well, and they weren't overdone or overused or anything like that. I thought they were very cool. The vision where Arda, I think it's the first big vision, where he ends up after the van crashes, he has a vision in the diner, and then he falls backwards and he's in the water, and then he gets up and he's in the water. After the vans crashed and stuff. That was all very well done. The visions when he was a kid, I find that... So there's that presence. I find it a bit hokey looking. I don't know why. I was a bit like, I don't know. There's the sleeved, creepy arm coming out of the... I don't know. I didn't know what to
Which is funny because I'm pretty sure it is the same hooded figure that appears in the rest of the visions, but I totally get what you're meaning, where the way it appears and the way it kind of reaches through the doorway is just a little bit.
Early on, maybe, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been creepier if it was just a background or, you know, a fleeting glimpse.
I think it beckons
him in a weird way.
And the scenes where Arda is a child, less is more would have done a lot better. Mm. Because, the kind of... The dread and fear that he feels was enough for me, that when the hand comes through the doorway, I was like, it's not really adding too much to it.
Yeah. I mean, visually, it's a game of two halves for me, Alistair.
Very much. I'm on the same side as that. Because visually, I found this movie very, very good. I really enjoyed the direction. The direction and cinematography are really well done. Again, as we've said, all the visuals, they more or less do what they set out to achieve. Mm. But the plot then is barely there. That sounds a lot harsher than I actually feel it. It wasn't something that I absolutely hated or anything like that, but it is thin on plot and thin on character development, which is a shame, because the performances out, especially the five police officers and the leader, are top notch. They do an excellent, excellent job, especially the leader.
Mehmet
Çalhanoğlu.
Yeah, let's go with that. Carry on.
He is a very diminutive man. He appears to be maybe 5'5". You know, he is not... Yeah. The stool that he is beaten to death with is the stool that he uses to look people in the eye before poking them out. Mm-hmm. And... I don't believe that's makeup. So no, he has a very distinctive look.
Yeah. on. Oh, what am I trying to
specified?
Say? No, no, on not accredited, uncited. It's on Wikipedia. It says, or maybe IMDb. It says that he's got an extremely rare skin condition, and it's like, right, okay, that's not really a lot of information about anything to do with that. I would describe for somebody who's not seen him before. He looks almost kind of cherubic. Not the actual condition cherubism, but if you just imagine it, it's kind of what he looks like. And he's hairless. And he's an arresting figure in his like his
kind of robes and chains. I found it like. I found that that contrast to be so good, where he is this small, strange-looking figure, but he makes a presence. He really puts forward a terrifying kind of demeanor about him. It's that kind of...
And there's a lot of lines as well. He's talking a lot. And I believe this is his first film role. He does a lot of good stuff. And he kind of looms out of the darkness as well. Like when he's introduced, he's slowly walking out of the darkness into the light, and then you see him the first time.
And he's revealed from behind before you see what he looks like. And it's all, excellently done. And that kind of is bittersweet, where a little bit more characterization of all these characters would have gone a long way. It's all very surface level. It's all very, very surface. Even to be honest with Ramsay and Arda, who are arguably your most important characters, because they are actually the only two that have any sort of history or background that is revealed. So you don't get a lot else out of everyone else.
But all the background is, what is it? It's told, it's not shown. So they just talk about their relationship. You don't actually ever see any of that. They've got all this history that they just mention to each other, which isn't exactly the way you should do that. But all the policemen are all pretty reprehensible, really. I mean, there's shades of it, but still. But I mean, so part of the point might be they're getting punished for this. They're just unlucky, although they allude to being summoned there and things like that. So it could be that they genuinely deserve it. And there's like some anti-police sentiment running through the movie, like the kid, I'm gonna say kid, he looks about 28, the guy in the diner at the start of the movie is like, if only you weren't a cop, because he can't retaliate when they're beating him up. And the guy that leads them to the police station he shouts like, fuck you pigs or something.
Because when they realize that like shit's going really bad, they kind of lose their attention on their guide, and he just books it and goes, fuck you police, and just bails. I was like, I would do the same.
So I don't know if that's really an actual theme or if it's just something that you know what I mean? It's kind of surface level as well, but I've potentially. I think it was the same takeaway for me, was if the plot. So it's surreal. It's a surreal horror movie, and they don't need to have a lot of plot. We both enjoyed Terrified.
Yep.
Right? That Argentinian? South American anime movie, which is very light on plot, but. The visuals are enough to sustain it, kind of thing. I think if this had a wee bit more of a through line in terms of plot, and maybe had a slightly stronger, the twist, you could see it coming. Well, as soon as, it's not even just that, actually, not like I predicted it, the whole movie or anything like that, but as soon as I noticed where he was and noticed what he looked like, I was like, fuck off.
Yeah, that ending doesn't hit as hard as they would have liked.
No,
it kind of
relies on you forgetting about it as well, because it's such a trope, hitting something, you know, like the unseen figure. Where did they go? Oh, we'll just have to try and forget about that for 50 minutes because you know it's going to be, it's definitely going to come back around and be, oh, it was them. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It's rather forced in there, unlike something. And granted, this is a lot of where that plot came from, is unlike something like Triangle, which uses that to a really smart and well done conclusion. Mm-hmm. This is just like, but it was him all along, and it's like, okay. Ah, exactly, exactly.
The big key payoff doesn't really mean anything either.
And that's where, as you said, it's a game of two halves where all the visuals are affecting, but a lot of the time meaningless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it loses a lot of it, is if you think too hard about any one part of this movie, it starts to fall apart, which is unfortunate. Like, it's because it's not like an unenjoyable experience. It just doesn't, all of its pieces are separate rather than part of a cohesive piece of work.
That's why I thought if it just had a little something to push it up into that next tier, it would have been really good. It's still good. It's still worth a watch. And like, I'll probably not talk, like, the practical effects are really excellent for a movie that doesn't seem to have a lot of budget. I will disagree with you on one thing, which is I find some of the camera work to be slightly disorientating, which is probably, like, sometimes, if you're looking at a lot of fucking blood and rubber or whatever, like, it's hard to, and it's dark. Sometimes you don't really know what you're looking at, which I don't think, I mean, I think that's kind of by design, because if you're working with limited locations and budget, you know, you are going to kind of pull a wee bit of that out of the bag. Do you know what I mean? To kind of hide your slight shortcomings, which is fine, but I find it just a wee bit kind of like, what the fuck am I looking at here? But for the most part, it was really good. And the, I mean, it's pretty shocking. It's pretty shockingly, I mean, they managed to make it pretty shockingly violent, you know, which is, you know, it's a, definitely an achievement in and of itself.
Absolutely. I didn't find those moments quite as off-putting as you. I found the freneticism quite appropriate for the scenes that they tend to appear in. There's one shot when they're they find the man in the bathroom, where it's essentially a first person camera with the torch, and it just works really well. It builds that tension really well down that corridor, and there's a lot of good wee moments like that. But especially considering, as you say, it doesn't seem to be the biggest budgeted movie. I feel they do a lot with what they had.
Yeah, they had a handful of locations, and they had a month, I think it was, a few $100,000, something like that.
Yep. Which, for all the practical effects they use,
I know, bloody hell, and all the people they've roped in, all the extras they've roped in, and said, "We're just going to make you writhe around in blood and rubber."
Yep. Could you crawl on all fours with a chain around your neck and a goat head on your... but that will lead us into... Theme Corner. Yes, we now have actually have music for Theme Corner. So as we've said, I don't think this movie has as much to tell as it actually thinks it does. As you said earlier, I think the main themes are mainly your anti-police sentiment. Whether that is a major or minor theme, it is prevalent throughout the whole movie.
Definitely mentioned,
The main theme of it is what is hell. Mm. And again, they touch on it, but they don't go far enough.
Yeah.
And again, it is that show don't tell, which they don't do enough of. And as the leader says, hell is not a place, it is something you carry with you. And you can see that within Ramsay, you can see that within Arda, but none of it pushes far enough to actually resolve any issues or to push forward any actual affecting themes in the movie. It's just this guy has carried this with him for a long time because of this. This guy has been looking after Arda and he needs to be a father figure to him. It never actually displays any of that, as you said. It's just told through these conversations. And I've got no problem. I'm a Mike Flanagan fan. I like long strings of dialogue. Like, but they have to serve a purpose complement the rest of the production.
Yeah.
It can't just be your only method of pushing forward these themes.
What a challenge for Theme Corner, really.
Yeah, quite a challenge for Theme Corner.
You did admirably.
Thank you.
Oh dear. There's a bit of trivia here that the torture and death of each policeman reflects a sin they described while eating together in the restaurant early in the film, including lust, rage, and gluttony. Now, lust, yeah.
Yep.
Rage.
Gluttony will be Apple, where he's disemboweled.
I mean, the story, there was one story that stuck with you, which was the lust one. Rage and gluttony didn't.
I don't remember either of those.
I mean, is rage not also your Joe Pesci? Sorry, you're
Yazov.
Is that not also him? I don't know.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was either.
44 found this interesting. Not a single dissenting voter of 44.
I mean, I would definitely say you could argue the rage is Arda at the end. Maybe the way Safi dies, but in terms of how that relates back to what they were talking about earlier in the movie, I don't see it.
Yeah, it seems a bit tenuous, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and the rest of the trivia is, I mean, obviously they talk about Mehmet Karahoglu, I'm just going to say that, a few times, because obviously he's very interesting and seems to have been basically new to acting. He wasn't plucked off the street. He had like a portfolio and whatever like that, but seems to be like his first big thing. I think he's worked together with the director on at least one other flick, I believe, and they try to base that character on or model him. Well, they say he modeled after Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now. That's also a very easy comparison to draw when you're talking about two bald characters that are a bit, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, sure.
No, I can't.
Funny, nothing in the IMDb trivia talks about Yaz, whatever, being modelled directly off Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, which is weird because he fucking is.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah, and shot in 28 nights. I mean, shooting in 28 nights, at night, and also they had to do it on that underwater scene, and also they talk about not having the real permits they should have and kind of keeping on the down low about all the orgy stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend that completed a short film in 5 days, and that was stressful enough. So completing a feature-length film, 28 days, well, nights.
With very transgressive scenes in a rather conservative place.
Yeah.
And I imagine they are not in major cities in this. And not to stereotype, but you do tend to have a more conservative attitude as you get into more rural areas.
Yeah.
So I can see that being a stressful, stressful shit.
Oh, and we've not named and shamed it yet. Problem with the subtitles again.
Problem with the subtitles, problem with the actual... I don't know if you got this. I had several moments throughout the movie where it snapped to 4:3.
I never had that.
Yeah, snapped to 4:3. I even rewound it and it did the same thing.
Really? Was this on Shudder?
Mm-hmm.
Odd one.
The second time it happened, I honestly wondered if it was a...
Artistic decision.
Uh-huh. I don't think it was. Yeah.
I'm going to be surprised. I'm going to say that that didn't happen because, I mean, I wasn't looking at my phone and half watching this. I'm sure I would have noticed if it snapped to 4:3. I'm not sure. Yeah. That's odd that it didn't happen to me, though. Overspilling subtitles I've never seen before. They're too long for
that was
the
weird. That was really weird. I feel that Shudder/Amazon really need to quality check their shit before they put it up things, especially foreign movies.
Yeah, like every fucking movie we watch with subtitiles seems to have
at least one moment where
the subtitles are fucked. And the little girl says something.
Yep. I was literally about to say that. I mean, is this one of those weird bits where the subtitle just didn't load for that? No, it's just not there. It's just not there.
I'm going to assume it wasn't Turkish, so...
No, I don't know. I don't know if it was or wasn't. I'm just... That's still bad subtitling. Because at that point, you need to put something unintelligible speech.
I know. I'm just reaching. I'm just reaching.
No, I think it's a fair point. It's nothing to do with the actual production of the movie in terms of like how they put it together. But it is definitely something that this is how you're going to watch it, you should know. It's the quality of subtitles, the quality of your reps for movies needs to be higher.
We should get into international distribution because we do a better job.
Probably.
This is based on a short film
called
Baskin, which is available on Vimeo.
Did you watch it?
You got 11 minutes?
Fuck it, let's do it.
Okay, let's watch it. Okay, we'll be back in a second.
So we just went and watched the short film.
Yep.
First time we've ever done that on...
We should probably do it more often if they're 10 minutes or less.
Yes. So some things I did notice between the short film and the feature length is that I think they sacrificed their point for more visual. Mm-hmm. Especially that early conversation that is so briefly touched upon there that isn't mentioned in the movie is the atheism, the belief system. And I think that even just a smattering of that in the feature length film would have gone a long way
to remember there being
a lot. Definitely more people around, has a bit more of a frantic kind of pace to it. Aside from that, it's mostly very similar to your midsection of the actual movie.
I mean, some of the shots look like they could have been the same
shot for shot, essentially.
Half the actors the same. Mehmet's in it, but Mehmet's he's not it. The leader
completely
he
different
doesn't have lines.
Completely different part. It seems like a little bit got lost between the short film and the feature film.
But then again, there's no surrealism in it.
Nope.
So they've added in quite a lot of good things.
Yep, totally. But again, with that came, they didn't really make the best use of those surreal aspects. Mm-hmm. Visually, they worked very well, but in terms of contributing to the overall movie.
I get your point. I just wouldn't have expected after watching this that if I saw a full-length version of that, it would be
Visions.
Yeah, totally. Don't bother watching the short film. Watch the long one.
Yep. That's what we're here for.
And I mean, we've watched some movies in the past that have been great short movies stretched out to awful feature lengths. Or just feature lengths with nothing else in them. So, you know.
I mean, Mama is my go-to for that.
Yeah.
I adored the short.
Yeah.
And then the feature length is another one of two halves where I literally can... I marked the moment where that movie turned to shit.
Yeah, I think I know the bit.
So before we give our own opinions, do you want to hear what other people had to say?
Have we not given our own opinions?
Our ratings.
Oh, shoot.
Shoot, I will. Mark Smith on Amazon gave this 1 out of 5 because he feels cheated.
Mm.
This was a subtitled Turkish film. Nothing on the Fire Stick to warn you of this. Didn't watch film more than 10 minutes. Can't stand subtitles. Feel a little cheated. I suggest Amazon puts a warning on films that are foreign language.
Was he wanting a Tiger King spin-off?
Yes, I think so. I'm very pleased you made that joke and not me.
It's a, what the fuck does Baskin mean?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to have a translation.
Yeah, it's not. Really?
Let's have a wee check.
Are you doing Google Translate?
Yep.
Don't know why I'm bothering
raid,
then.
Apparently.
Raid. Like a police raid?
Seems that way.
Maybe. Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Why did they call it Raid?
Quite a few jokes about Tiger King in the reviews on IMDb.
I mean, Christ. We've been talking to each other at least for quite a while though, and that's the first time it was mentioned. I would not bother including it in my review on IMDb. Jesus. Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10. She killed her own husband and got away with it despite being a huge public figure. Long live the king. Imagine being a beta male gold digger type human.
Okay, can we not read out reviews for people that haven't watched the film? Do they think Carol Baskin's going to... Well, I suppose if I saw IMDb entry for my own last name, yeah, probably would. No, they're right. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Insert your hatred messages for her there, lads. Fair enough.
Thelma und Louise on IMDb says 1 out of 10. This movie is really boring. Not to be recommended at all. I cannot say that. Like, of all my criticisms boring. That I levy against this movie, it's not boring.
No, it's not boring. It's not boring. I mean, unless they got the sing song and were like, oh, fuck it, turn it off.
Yeah. Maybe they just really don't like frogs.
That's frog heavy. It's very frog heavy. I'm just hopeful that all those frogs were treated with love and care, even the ones that were spilling all over each other in that forest.
2 out of 10. If a Razorhead and Satan had a child, it would be this movie.
I don't agree with that.
Starts off really well, but highly disappointing second half. 2 out of 10. That's not a 2 out of 10 review.
No, it starts off really well, has a disappointing second half. You'd think that all the payoffs are the second half.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite torture porny, though.
It is very torture porny.
So it could be that people just don't like how it descends into that aspect of it.
Yusuf gave it 5 stars on Amazon. An absurd, surrealist, gory descent through an abandoned old Ottoman police station. Ignore the negative reviews and watch this nightmare.
We're all calling it the old abandoned Ottoman police station as if
that's because they call it the old abandoned Ottoman.
It's just funny. Like if you held up 10 pictures and were like, point to the Ottoman one. Like,
I think that I would be fine.
Yeah, you're nuts, though.
I am that. But never mind what they thought. What would you give this?
I would come back to me. What would you give this?
I've been swithering between a 6 and a 7.
Oh, me too. That's yeah. not good.
And it's hard. Like, it's that way where I feel a 6 undersells quite a lot of parts and then a 7 oversells quite a lot of parts. Mm-hmm. But I think by the end of the movie, the lack of plot kind of wore on me. And I think that would be why I'm leaning towards a 6. Overall, it's a fine experience, but it just doesn't go far enough to do anything. Like, seeing a month or two, I'm not going to really remember this movie.
See, I think you will, mostly because of the leader.
The leader's an excellent, excellent... He's probably the highlight of the whole movie.
I feel like in 5 years, I was like, do you remember Baskin? You might be like, Baskin. I'd be like, a Turkish cop movie. You'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like... with the eyes thing. Sorry, I just mimed getting eyes stabbed. It's an audio medium, so that was a poor thing to do, but that's what I do in real life.
Yeah.
I'm probably a 6 as well, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunately and not how
so if fine.
We put this on anything. It's a good 6.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is a 6. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got moments of 7 and 8. So then gets dragged back down a bit. You know how it is. Remember the bit at the start with the meat?
Yep. That never comes into it again.
Yeah, it never comes into it again. I forgot about it, but when I was rating it on IMDb there, it just popped up with the meat and I was like, oh yeah, that bit with the meat. Odd. That's why it's a 6, not a 7.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It picks up and drops a few things. It's again, it's that kind of visual for visual's sake rather than actually telling you anything. And then the things that it does tell you, it just tells you.
We do have a habit of picking on the little things. Overall, still a recommend. Just, you know, not it will blow you away, it will blow your socks off, but you know, it's good watch on Shudder for fucking subtitles. Now if you want a surreal horror movie with an unusual color palette, maybe with a bit of rubber in it, what would you watch, Ali? What would you watch? I know what you'd fucking watch, but can you remember what you'd watch? Oh you love it.
I mean,
surrealistic elements.
No, I'm thinking Mandy.
Yeah.
Because, for my two, recommends, of like other movies to recommend for this are, if you want something surrealist and gory, go watch Mandy. It uses all its surrealist aspects to very great effect.
Yeah.
There are still a lot of moments and aspects of that movie where... yeah, it's not fully explained, and it's not, but it works because it gives you enough throughout the whole movie to push you forward. My other one is, if you're wanting to go for something gory and gripping, go watch The Sadness.
Yes. Well, maybe we'll cover The Sadness one day.
We might, but if I'd still have to give it a hearty recommend in terms of...
You sicko. You know what that film's about? It's disgusting. Just a content warning on The Sadness, which also the film has.
Huge content warning on that one. But yeah, go watch Mandy. If you've not watched Mandy, go watch Mandy.
I found the Blu-ray of Mandy just today in a little drawer, and I was like, oh fuck, I need to watch that movie again. It's been far too long. Well, where are we off next? Where are we off to? To North Macedonia.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, you didn't expect that one, did you?
Ooh.
To watch a proper film.
Ooh, sorry, Baskin.
With an actress that we will recognize.
Carol Baskin.
We're going to watch You Won't Be Alone, directed by Goran Stolevski and starring I don't know how to pronounce her name. Numi Rapace? Rapace?
Numi Rapace.
Numi? Is it Rapace? You might look like a fucking fool.
I might look like a fucking... But I said it with confidence, so you're going to look like a fucking idiot.
No, I'm hedging my bets.
Rapace?
Rapace? And that's what I mean by a proper movie, obviously. It's just unusual that we have a film where it's like, hey, that's a fucking... A-list? Yeah, we'll give Numi the credit.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was in Prometheus. Yeah. She was the main character in Prometheus.
Yeah.
And the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. She was in Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Now, it might be... It's got all the warning signs of being either really good, thematic, powerful film, or not really a horror film.
Excellent.
And it's got those kind of user reviews that are like, you know, no, it's not really scary, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So we'll have to make up our own mind on that one. All right. But it did pretty well in terms of reception. So we'll see how we think about it, eh?
Yeah. Well,
have you heard of it? You won't be alone.
That I have not.
Uncultured swine.
Yeah. I only watch Michael Bay movies, so.
Yeah. Which one's it tonight?
The Rock, as it is every night, because it's his only good movie.
Oh, no, I thought you were an aficionado. You're going to watch, the fuck was that shit one starring The Rock and Mark Wahlberg? True story.
Pain and Gain?
Yeah, that's your favorite.
Oh, yeah. No, but I keep that one in a glass case that I only open in emergencies. Now, for when Michael comes round.
That fucking film will be orange and cyan, I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we better... Oh, God. Oh, I need to go out and push.
Yeah, we're still at the fit. We've got nowhere to stay tonight.
Yeah. Right. Well, a huge, huge thank you to Michael Maftian for the new music.
Thank you, Michael.
I better get out and
shout out to Carol Baskin. Humping.
Shout out to Carol Baskin. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Oh, God. I'm going to do my stretches.